Have you ever felt like, like you were dealt a bad hand in life? Have you ever felt like that? I was dealt a bad hand. You didn't get all the good breaks. There's no silver spoon in my mouth. I'm not inheriting any Palm Beach mansion. I don't get any breaks. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You can hear me? Okay. Okay. Are you can hear me? Well, aren't you blessed? Hey, can you see me from back there? Can you see me? Okay. You can see me? Well, aren't you blessed? Did you get a little something to eat this morning? We had plenty of eggs and some bread out there, and there was some watermelon too, wasn't there? And good watermelon. Did you get a little something to eat this morning? Well, aren't you blessed? We've been dealt a pretty good hand. We have so many blessings around us, it's very difficult to count them all. Matthew made some good reference to that. You don't know how blessed you are. You can reach up and pick your nose. And listen, it's easy to turn away from God. It's easy when you focus on the things that you don't have rather than the things that you do have. So I'm watching this movie the other day, and basically the whole premise is this woman can kind of see into the future. And it's a difficulty of the way in which they show the movie and the progression of the movie, and it's complicated and you try to figure it all. But basically the whole premise of the idea is that she can kind of see into the future. And she's seeing that she's going to have a daughter, and that daughter's going to live 12 years and die of cancer. And the question before her is, do you want the 12 years? Do you want the 12 years? Do you want the blessings of the 12 years of the child or not? Our scriptures, we encounter a blind man. He has no sight, blind from birth. In the culture in those days, you're cursed. You're cursed of God. You did something to anger God. Or your family did something to anger God, and the disciples even ask, whose sin is it? Was it that guy's sin, or was it the sin of the family? Right out of the gate, the disciples want to debate, they want to discuss, they want to dialogue. Jesus wants to deliver. Are you thinking about what Jesus thinks about? Jesus was not concerned about the man's past. He was more concerned about his future. And we really don't know a lot about this blind guy. We know he has parents that are still living. If you've soaked the passage and you read the scripture, there's an investigation and they call the parents just to make certain. Was he really born blind and now he's healed? How about you? Do you know? Was he really blind? Asking the parents his entire life. He's been plagued with blindness. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees him. He can't see anybody. And an opportunity is about to fall upon him. An opportunity of biblical proportions about to fall on him. An opportunity at a new way of life. Do you really want it? An opportunity is about to fall upon you. Of biblical proportions. The movement of the Holy Spirit of God upon you. An opportunity for a new journey, a new outlook, a new way of thinking, a new walk, a new way of life. Do you really want it? Here's your first one. We're on a journey. Aren't we all on a journey? And really, aren't we all blind in some ways? Some ways, in many ways, I am a sage. I'm very wise. In other ways, yet to be born. And aren't we at least, you know, spiritually blind? Talked a little bit about that even in Sunday school. We hinted at it a little bit. What's the mystery of God? What's God still mysterious for you? Aren't we at least spiritually blind? And if you think you're not, that's your blindness. Just read the last verse in chapter 9. If you think you're not, that's your problem. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man, that guy, his parents, whatever. Neither. Did Jesus really answer the question concerning whose sin it is? Kinda. No, not really. Blindness is in the world because of sin. Period. Period. Disease is in the world because of
sin.
Death is in the world because of which one of you is righteous enough without sin? Cast the first stone. Jesus expresses that the sin, the tragedy, is in place that great works of God can be displayed through him. And they will be displayed through this man. And they can be displayed through you as well. What's really kind of interesting to me is just right, as he went along. Verse 1, as he went along. Just as he just happened by, when Jesus passes by and interferes with your life, things are never the same. Things are forever changed. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. And if in your journey you think you have no real purpose, all you do is work, eat, and sleep, work, eat, and sleep, and it's a mundane routine, that's all your life is, Jesus said, hey, follow me. Follow me. I will show you something amazing. And if in your journey, maybe you feel as if you're at the bottom of the barrel, your supplies done run out, there's more month than money, Jesus passing by can change everything. Can make your empty full. Yeah, you know, Pastor, I've tried that religion thing. Kind of left me dry. Kind of left me dry. Take a look at Nicodemus. Turned religion into an exciting relationship with Christ. Jesus passing by. Are you for real? Are you for real? Your journey taking you too far? Oh, the Lord can never forgive me. Too many bad relationships, too many marriages, too many sins. Let me introduce you to the woman at the well. Came for a cool drink, left with living waters in her soul. You got a physical problem, you got a sickness, you got a disease, you got infirmity, you got sin. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. Make you whole. Yeah, but I'm facing an impossible situation. There's no way it could ever work out for me. Jesus passed by with a few loaves and a few fish and supplied, met the need. If you don't believe that an encounter with Jesus changes things, let me introduce you to blind Bartimaeus. Let me introduce you to the leper. If you don't believe that Jesus changes things just by passing by, let me introduce you to Peter's mother-in-law. The crippled man. A centurion's servant. You don't even have to come to my house, Jesus. Just say the word and I am healed. Let me introduce you to the demon-possessed man out of his mind. People running in fear from him. If you don't believe Jesus changes things that Jesus changes things just by being present, let me talk to you about the woman caught in adultery. Let me talk to you about Peter. Let me talk to you about Paul, Saul. Let me introduce you, I'm Pastor Stan, to myself. I'll introduce you to Christ. Things will never be the same when you have an encounter with Jesus. This moment for the blind man was set in heaven with a specific divine purpose in mind. You believe that? He says it. Listen. You were planned in heaven with a specific divine purpose in mind. Do you believe that? Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that? You were planned in the heaven. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know the purposes and the plans that I have for you. Say this to yourself. I matter to God. Say it. I matter to God. Jesus spits on some dirt, makes some mud, and rubs it in the guy's eyes. That's kind of gross. Why does he do it that way? Why does he do it that way? Maybe because it's the Sabbath, and irrigating the soil is considered work, and he's just irritating all the Pharisees. He's irrigating the soil and irritating the Pharisees. Just Jesus causing controversy. Imagine that. Maybe it's because man comes from dirt. Genesis, then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living being. Maybe he's recreating his eyes. Maybe it's both. I don't know. Here's your next slide. Jesus doesn't want you to focus on the manner of the healing, but on the master of the healing. I do know the blind man would need to do something. He'd have to make this movement to the pool. This guy received some pretty unique instructions. Go to the pool. So now he has to decide. Should I go or should I stay now? Any punk rockers in that? Should I go or should I stay now? Right? If I stay, there will be trouble. If I go, it will be double. All right, nobody else is. All right, I'm sorry. I'm the only one in my own little world, okay? It's all right. Should I stay or should I go? He's got some unique instructions. He's hearing from the Lord. What am I going to do with this? I guess to receive your sight, you do just about anything. He hasn't seen Jesus. Maybe he's heard of him. Passing by and all the passersby and all the people that talk and all the stuff and all the things the Pharisees are saying about him. And maybe even what the disciples are asking, who sinned that this man is blind? Maybe he heard all of that. This is that real good case of like, seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. You believe? Go to the pool, wash your eyes. Have you had an encounter with Jesus? Has he asked you to do something specific in your life? Has he given you unique instructions, unique to you, as unique as your fingerprint and your DNA? Because I promise you, he has. There's a divine purpose for you. There's a reason for your creation and for your existence. Now, I don't know if you would consider yourself lucky that Jesus might put some mud spit in your eye, but I would consider myself lucky that Jesus would come down into the mud with me, lift me out of the mire, pick me up. I know what he's asking of me. That's why I know I can walk with confidence in the full assurance that God is with me. I'm doing what he's asking of me to do. The Lord has me here for a reason, behind this pulpit, preaching this word, this moment, right here, right now. Are you ready? For you. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to glorify God? Are you ready to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Or you still got mud in your eye? I'm still trying to decide if I believe or not. Maybe you're just on the way to the pool. That's okay. Maybe this is the place you finally get some mud off your own eyes. Maybe you've been walking around too long with blinders on. I heard the Lord, but I can't see. Gotta get to the pool. Gotta get to the pool. Your life has a purpose, a God-given purpose. This is the day you can receive what the Lord has for you. This is the day you can receive a bigger vision for who you are and who you're supposed to be. This is the day you can receive healing, letting go. This is the place where you can rise up and walk in freedom. This is the place where God will set your tomorrow. But it requires an obedience from you. I hear, I believe. Well, you better get to the pool, wash the mud out of your eyes. Listen, here's your next slide. Don't ask God to bless your tomorrow if you're not willing to do what he asks of you today. Get up, go to the pool, wash your eyes. Get up and come to church. Listen, some will and some won't. Should I stay or should I go now? Don't ask the Lord to bless your tomorrow if you're not willing to do what he's asking of you today. Pray for your family. Some will, some won't. Pray for your coworkers. Some will, some won't. Invite your neighbor to church. Some will, some won't. Insult some people, will you? Please. Some will, some won't. Gossip about some people, will you? Especially the church. Please talk about the pastor. Some will, some won't. Choose obedience. Some will, some won't. Listening to what the Lord is telling you is part of your journey. Doing what he's asking of you is the next step. I heard a voice of God. I hear it. I recognize it. I believe it. Now what? Now what? Now there's another step. Now you got to take another step. It's not just hearing the word only and deceiving yourself. It's doing what it says. The man, if he did not go to the pool and wash his eyes, would still be walking around blind, even after an encounter with Jesus. I heard him, but you didn't do what he asked you to do. Get away from me. I never knew who you were. Along the way, you're going to find this. You're going to find some opposition. That's your next slide. Here comes this guy. Now he's walking down the street. Goes to the pool, washes off his eyes. I can see. Now he's walking down the street, and his neighbor sees him. Isn't that the guy that was blind? He used to hang out over, and there's this whole controversy amongst the neighbors. No, that's not the guy. It just looks like him. No, is that? I'm telling you, that's the guy. He says, with his, it is me. I'm that guy. I was blind, but now I see. What a testimony. You know, when Facebook, you know, when I first logged on to Facebook, all these people started showing up. Bam! Is that really you? Stan, is that you? Oh my gosh, it's been 25 years. Is that really you? Yeah, I would go, yeah, that's me. You're really a minister? Yeah. Well, that's hard to believe. Yeah, I'm a police chief. No way, that's crazy. Didn't we used to cut school together? Oh, yeah. Didn't we used to get high together? Didn't I buy loose joints from you? I was blind, but now I see. Yes, that was me. This is me now. Listen, I learned a long time ago Jesus was going to ask me to publicly declare who he was, or I was going to have to go in hiding. I learned a long time ago it was going to upset some people. I was going to upset some people. I was going to offend some people. Okay, I had to learn fear or assurance. It's not going to matter what people say, or is it going to matter what people say? And listen, there were times I felt like the bad person. Anybody else? Scared to tell the truth. Scared to make the profession. Anybody ever get that feeling in your gut? Oh, I hope they don't talk about God. I hope they don't talk about Jesus. Oh man, I hope they don't look at me and ask me. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And then I would feel bad. I would feel bad, like, I'm sorry. Did I let you down by not making a career out of selling drugs? I'm sorry. Did I offend you by going to church? I'm sorry. Did I step on your toes because I went to seminary? I'm sorry. Did I not live up to your low expectations of me? I apologize. I got healed. I apologize. I got delivered. I apologize. I got set free. I had to get some backbone as a believer. And so will you. So will you. This guy had to get some backbone, didn't he? They grilled his family. They brought him into the temple courts, and they were afraid of the lawyers. They were afraid of all of them because they're going to kick him out of the temple. They're going to ostracize him and shun them, and so they're afraid. Hey, if you read the passage, hey, he's old enough. He can talk for himself. Don't ask me. And he was blind when he was born. That's all I know. That's their testimony. This guy had an encounter. This guy had an encounter with Christ, and things are never the same. You can talk logically till you're blue in the face about theology. You can debate for hours about world religions, who sinned, whose sin is it, who didn't sin, how was it created, this way, not that way, what is the Sabbath, which law is appropriate. You can debate that stuff for all hours of the day. It goes on and on and on and on, and still does. Thousands and thousands of years later, still going on, still debates, still discussions, still dialogue, still doctrine. But you cannot change the mind of a man who's had an experience. You need an experience with Christ. You need an experience with God to solidify your faith. You need close encounters of the Jesus kind. Listen, here's your next slide. Don't deliver a message, deliver an experience. This guy's not talking theology. They haul him into the temple and they've got all kinds of theology. Well, that Jesus guy, he can't be for real. He can't be from God. He's working on the Sabbath. Oh, God not only doesn't listen to sinners. Well, he must, because look what's happening. He's disobeying. He's not of God. He's certainly not a follower of Moses. This can't be real. You can't be real. He doesn't know any of that. You know what he knows? I was blind, but now I see. He changed my life. That's all I know. I have a different way of looking at things than you do, because I've had an experience. I've had an encounter. Don't deliver a message. Please deliver an experience. This guy didn't know much about Jesus at all. We don't really know much about the blind guy at all. But enough to know he stood his ground. There's a lot about this amazing God I do not know. But I know my encounters. I know my experience that have solidified a conviction within me. You cannot debate away. You cannot bring your twisted theology and somehow make it something other than what it is to me. God wants to do it with you and you and you and you. Why? That you'll give him glory. That you'll give him glory. That you'll give testimony. Why he wants to do it that way, I have no idea. But that's God's chosen method to reach the world. You. 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 Unbelievable. God wants this for you. Yeah, he says you can call it whatever you want to call it. I know that this Jesus is from God because of what he's done for me. Only God could do this. It made the religious people very angry. You know the hardest time that Jesus had with people? The religious and the self-righteous. And most of the self-righteous people were religious. He had a real hard time with the religious people. You know who was open and ready to receive? Jesus, I need you. I need you. I desire you in my life. Made the religious people angry. So, I'm asking you, have you had any encounters with Jesus? You had encounters with Jesus? Somebody give me a hands up. Say, amen, I've had an encounter with you. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me, Dave, you've had supernatural encounters with Jesus. That's what you're... Who else? You're telling me, sir, you've had supernatural encounters with Jesus. That's what you're telling. You're telling me there's a church full of people that have had supernatural encounters. That's what you're trying to tell me. You know what the religious people did? They kicked him out. Get out. Get out. Who are you to lecture us? Get out. Not that he wasn't out already. What did they ever do for him but call him cursed, call him abandoned by God? Not that they ever did anything. He was already an outcast. Do you feel like an outcast? You feel looked down upon? I've had to hide in the corner. I hope they don't talk about religion because then I might have to actually say, I believe in Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done for me. You better get a backbone. Jesus, go wash the mud out of your eyes and be a living testimony of what God can do in someone's life. That's you. That's what he wants for you. That's what he has for you. Listen, you feel like an outcast, you feel looked down upon at times. Well, I can promise you this, Jesus got you. Here's your next slide. Welcome to New Life Alliance Church, where the misfits fit. You may not know everything about this Jesus. He still reaches out. Maybe you don't know how to spell Leviticus. Doesn't matter. He still reaches out. Maybe you don't know everything about this Christ, but you got a testimony. You've had an encounter. You've had an experience. Maybe all this misery that you're walking in is so that God can receive some glory. You think it's about your misery. God said, I'm going to take your misery and shine some light, and you're going to be a living testimony of what God can do in someone's life. Is that you? Maybe all this trouble so God can get glorified. All this tragedy so God can get glorified. All this despair so God can get glorified. All this depression so God can get glorified. All this unrest, all this misfortune, all these high gas prices, all the movement of the government in the wrong direction. All so God can get glorified. What about you? Are you just gonna stay in the boat? Are you gonna hide in the corner? Are you missing the divine purpose that God has for you because you're afraid? Oh, what my parents are going to say. Oh, my neighbors might recognize me. God turns the bad to the good. Do you believe that? Here's your last one. Jesus cares. Trying to run it up. This amazes me. And if you don't, I hope you get it. I hope you get it. Jesus heard they kicked him out. Verse 35. Jesus heard they threw him out. He brought him into the temple and said, hey, what's your story? Well, it was this guy called Jesus, put some blood on my eyes, and now I can see. Wow! Well, that Jesus has got to burn because he was working on the Sabbath. He spit in the ground and made some mud. Oh, well, I don't think you were, you know, born blind. Let's get his parents in here. Oh, well, I guess he was. You know, he was. Who do you say that he is? Blind man, once blind man? Who do you say? He's a prophet. He is from God. Well, that's impossible. Who are you to lecture us about God? Get out. You're cursed. You're a misfit. You don't belong. Jesus heard they had thrown him out. And then he went to find him. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Here's the guy that can see now. Well, who is it? Who is it that I may believe in him? Tell me who. Who? You have now seen him. You've now seen him. You've now seen, not just heard him. You've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you now. And then what did the man do if you read it? Just like doubting Thomas. What did he do? Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. I believe in you, Lord. And he worshiped him. Jesus actually seeks this guy out. He doesn't just heal the man and leave him. No more than he will you. Jesus still looking out for him. Though the religious sect said, get out. We don't want any part of you. Get out. Jesus seeks him out. Jesus still cares about what he's going through and what he will go through. Religious laws didn't do a thing for him. It's a different world for this guy now. He has different eyes. And he sees things a little bit differently. He sees religion a little bit differently. He sees with the eyes that Christ has given him. Are you a new creation? Are you a new person? You've been born again? Do you see with the eyes of Christ? Or are you still walking around in your natural ability and your natural eyesight? It's a different world now. No more begging. No more excuses. No more, oh, God must have a curse on me. Oh, God must hate me. Don't you believe that? That's straight from the pit. And that's exactly what Jesus is coming to say. Religious people have got it all wrong. Seek me. Just me. All you need is me. Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man. There's lots of interpretations of why he would say, I am the Son of Man. But just to say this, the voice of God has spoken. He is the Messiah, the long anticipated one. I know you hear me. Did you do what I asked? I know you heard me. Did you do what I asked? I know you heard me. Did you do what I asked? Boiling it down to you, personally, Jesus cares for you, each and every one of us. He knows your blind spots. He can heal them. He knows your weakness. He can give you strength. He knows what you're going through. He knows your journey. He knows the divine purpose that he has for you. But He also knows the opposition that you're going to face. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, the disciples had all their discussions and their debates and their dialogues and their doctrines, and they had lots of judgment. The neighbors had all the skepticism and all the doubt. The Pharisees had all the traditions and all the laws, and they were sticking to it. The parents had all the fear that was required to just distance themselves from the circumstance and the situation. The healed man had a deeper faith because he had an encounter with a living Christ. I pray that for you. And which one are you going to be, by the way? You're going to be one of the ones that discuss and debate and dialogue and judge? Are you going to be the one that doubts and walks in all the disbelief? I hear, but I'm just going to keep the mud on my eyes. Are you going to stand in all the traditions and all the laws and all the legality and all the doctrines? Are you going to walk in the fear? I hope nobody ever asks me about Christ. Are you going to be healed? Are you going to be delivered and set free? Are you going to get some new eyes to be able to see things in a supernatural way? In a way that will surprise you, in a way that God wants to show you. And many people are afraid to take the next step. They hear and they'll say, I believe, but they won't do anything. You know, honey, I love you, and there is nothing I wouldn't do for you. And that's exactly what you do, nothing. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, in this place today, your spirit is real and vibrant and strong. And Father, I would pray for those that are spiritually blind, that you would fall upon them, put mud in their eyes, that they might be able to see. That as they walk out of this pool today, they see differently. They think differently. They act differently because they've had an encounter with Christ. It's not about religion. It's about you. It's always been about you, Jesus. So here we are, yielded, submitted, and humbled. Empower us to walk with the assurance of a healed man and a healed woman that can walk in a way with assurance and confidence in who you are. And our lives would serve as a living testimony of what God can do. Amen. God bless you guys.